Hello, and welcome to Life Care Services Health Service Division podcast series. I'm Deb Goss, Director of Clinical Consulting, and today's discussion involves ADLs, and more specifically, ADL declines. I'll start with a little background, some general information, and then move towards more specific information. So it was 30 years ago, 1987, when the Federal Nursing Home Reform Act, or OBRA 87, created national protocols, a set of minimum standards for care of residents residing in nursing homes. And included in this sweeping reform was the standardization of a resident assessment, referred to as a minimum data set, or MDS. The intent of the MDS at that time was to drive quality of care. The idea was that nursing staff would complete a standardized assessment, which would then generate a complete or comprehensive care plan for residents. And while today we use a third-generation MDS, the MDS 3.0, it still drives quality, but it's also recognized as a driver of reimbursement rates for RUGs, resource utilization groups, and case mix in those states utilizing case mix reimbursement. ADLs, or activities of daily living, are just that, activities an individual completes in the course of everyday living, such as moving about in bed, transferring from the bed or the chair, walking, eating, using the bathroom or a commode, and maintaining personal hygiene, like combing hair and brushing teeth. This assessment of ADLs is located within Section G of the MDS and contains two parts. The first part, of course, is the identification of the resident's self-performance, what the resident is capable of doing, while the other part supports what staff does. What is it that staff does to support the resident in that self-performance? The MDS coordinator has always been instructed to review documentation in the medical record in support of the coding for the MDS, and Section G is no different. As individuals vary in their function, or if some people experience a good day or a bad day at any given time, the MDS instructs staff to review a particular period of time. That standard period of time is commonly referred to as a look-back period. With the MDS 3.0, that period consists of 7 days. So all individuals are instructed to look at the same 7 days. Not only are the individuals completing the MDS directed to review the medical record for documentation during that 7-day period, but they're also to talk with direct care staff. Staff from each shift should be interviewed to learn what the resident does, as well as the level of assistance each staff provides. The MDS goes on to direct MDS coordinators, don't only review the medical record and interview staff, but you should also observe the residents doing their activities of daily living when you're evaluating each ADL component. Direct care staff can be the key to accurately coding the ADLs. However, too often, direct care staff receive the education on the importance of accurately coding ADLs sporadically. The education should be ongoing, not just every 3 months. It may be done in a didactic or a lecture-type setting, when in fact even a more hands-on or a mentoring approach is more effective with an adult learner. So always consider when conducting observational confirmation of ADLs that you operate in a teaching or a mentoring role as well. Work with direct care staff and ensure that the ADL coding is accurate. With today's focus on post-acute care and the numerous assessments that are required, we can't discount our long-term care residents' assessments and needs. Two publicly reported quality measures include long-term care resident ADLs. The first, the percentage of long-stay residents whose abilities to move independently worsened. And the second is the percentage of long-stay residents whose needs for help with daily activities has increased. These two quality measures spotlight ADLs, referred to as late loss ADLs. The four ADLs, bed mobility, transfer, toileting, and eating, are judged to be the last to deteriorate, hence that's why they're called the late loss ADLs. So two assessment periods are utilized for comparison in the quality measure. For example, a current quarterly assessment is compared with the previous comprehensive admission assessment, or a current comprehensive annual assessment is compared with the previous quarterly assessment. When a resident experiences a worsening of at least one level in two or more of these four ADLs, the resident would be counted in the quality measure as having a decline. So let's look at that closer. A resident's self-performance perhaps was coded as a 2, limited assistance, and is now currently assessed or coded as a 3, extensive assistance in, say, transferring and toileting. Or perhaps it's the support provided by staff that was coded as a 2, a 1-person physical assist, and is currently coded as a 3, 2-person physical assist for transferring and for toileting. A decline can also be identified should a resident experience a debility of 2 levels in one or more of the 4 ADLs. So the example, again, if we look more closely, would be that the resident was previously coded as a 2, limited assistance, and is now coded as 4, total dependence in, say, transferring. A more simpler way, perhaps, to remember this is that a decline happens when there is a gradual decline in 2 or more ADL functions, or a significant decline in one ADL function. When completing the MDS, staff responsible for Section G should always review the medical record documentation, interview direct care staff, and observe residents' function to ensure the accuracy of Section G. Should staff note a discrepancy within any of these three methods, the individual would then make an entry in the medical record reflecting an accurate assessment in this time frame. After ensuring the accuracy of Section G within the MDS, the MDS coordinator should then compare the current assessment with the previous assessment for an identification of a decline in function, either a gradual decline in 2 or more areas or a significant decline in one area. Should a decline be identified, please refer the resident to therapy. Make an entry in the medical record to identify the decline in function, signaling a medical necessity for referral to therapy. And documentation in the medical record should also support the identification of risk factors. An appropriate care plan intervention would then be implemented, such as a restorative nursing plan. As with all clinical programs, document the identified risk, initiate a care plan to minimize the risk, and then revise that care plan. Make those interventions appropriate. So residents, ADLs, activities of daily living, maintain or improve. Now, if the decline is unavoidable, documentation is even more imperative. What risks were identified? What did you identify for risks? What was care planned? And were the interventions revised as appropriate? There are always two sections in MDS which are risk adjusted. In other words, the resident would not be considered in the quality measure when these sections are quoted. The resident would be taken out of the denominator, so to speak. Now, one section is J1400 is prognosis resulting in life expectancy of less than 6 months. And the other section is O0100K. O100K is hospice care while a resident. Please be sure these sections are coded appropriately. If they are indeed true in that look back period or in that time of the assessment, make sure they are coded as well. If your community would like further assistance in identifying ADL declines and or assistance in setting up a restorative nursing program, please discuss these declines and other issues with your clinical nurse consultant on his or her next visit. And thank you so much for joining me today, and I look forward to joining you on another podcast.
Legal disclaimer. Life Care Services, LLC is not engaged in rendering legal advice. Therefore, any information provided in this podcast, although intended to be correct, is also not intended to replace or supersede the advice of your legal counsel. Also, thank you to Ben Sounds for the music provided in this podcast.